Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Maseches Bechoros Daf Mem Beis. We are holding on Mem Aleph Mem Beis, four lines from the bottom. B'chachamim im ene bechor b'chulu. Okay, so back to the Mishnah where we mentioned a unique looking bechor, either a tumtum or his gender signs are covered, concealed, in which case his status is unknown, or an androgynous, who's exhibiting both gender signs. So yesterday we focused on the androgynous. We had three opinions in the Mishnah. Tanakama, who says, well, it's a perpetual state of uncertainty. We don't know. Is the androgynous classified as a zachar, in which case he's a bechor with kedusha, or perhaps a nekeva, in which case he's not a bechor, which is limited to male, right? So we're not sure. Rabbi Shmuel says, look, even if he's a bechor, even if he's a zachar, but he has a mom because the gender sign is considered a blemish. It's a split in the skin and qualifies as a mom. We have the third sheet of the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah who say, no, it's a brand new entity. Nor this, nor that. Bria v'fnei'atma, the brand new classification, a new type of gender. Androgynous. Of course, he doesn't qualify as a bechor. Okay, so that's regarding androgynous. Today we're going to focus on tumtum, whose gender area is concealed, in which case status unknown. How is he classified? This whole discussion is limited to androgynous. There we have the Chachamim who say, well, it's a new entity, it's a new class of its own. But if it's a tumtum where his area is concealed and covered over, that's certainly not a new entity. Everybody agrees. It's a suffix. It's an unknown. In which case, you have to account for all possibilities. Rashi says you can't shecht him in the Beis HaMikdash, just in case he turns out to be in a keva. You can't shecht him outside the Mikdash either, just in case he turns out to be a zachar. Can't work with him, you can't share him. Okay? So Reb Chisda provides that clarity. He says, Tumtum is certainly a suffix according to all shittas. Divrei kol sfeiku, v'kaddish misfeiku is kaddish on account of that suffix. Amalei Rava, so Rava responds. A tumtum is one or the other, it's just that we don't know. Amalei Rava l'miat, if that's the case, be'erich n'yarech. So when a fellow commits to donate to the Mikdash, he pledges, you know, the value of a person. So he sends this specific amount of money as set forth in the Torah, which provides the rates based on age and gender. Okay, so the tumtum should also be a qualifying subject for erchin. If you pledge the value of the tumtum, you're committed. You know, whether he's either a male or a female, either way, right? So you have to give the bigger amount or whatever it is, right? It shouldn't be nothing. He's not a new entity, he's one or the other, right? Over to the next amid. Alamatani, but if so, why do we have the halacha that rules out the tumtum from erechin? Pasuk says that the erech, the value of the hazachar, Rashi says it's the extra hay we're focusing on, rules out the tumtum and androgynous. They have no set rate in the Torah. They're not included in the parasha of erechin. V'lo yitumtum androgynous. And the question is, okay, androgynous, fine. Perhaps, you know. Androgynous, yeah, okay, that's a new entity. But tumtum, it's one or the other, either a male or female. Sami become tumtum. You're right, we're going to delete the word tumtum from this price. And actually, this is going to be a recurring, a reply in the Gemara over the next several kashas. We're going to just delete tumtum from the list. Because tumtum, as Rav Chisda maintains, is not really a new entity. It's either male or female. Toshma, here comes another raya. Another kasha on Rav Chisda. Yochel lo yehi berech ish. So perhaps the tumtum is not on the male, rate list. He doesn't qualify for a male rate. Aval yehi berech ish. Perhaps you're obligated according to the female rate if you pledge the value of the tumtum. Tamalema ha zochar. Ibn Keva. So we have Hazachar. Then we have Vi'im Nekeva. The extra Vi'im rules them out from the female rate as well. V'loy Tumtum Azraganus. Apparently Tumtum is a new entity. Again, Sami erased from here Mikan the Tumtum. Toshma another right. So that's by the Korban Shlomim. Im Zachar Im Nekeva. So the extra Lashon Im Zachar Im Nekeva tells you that has to be a Zachar Vada in Nekeva Vadois. Has to be an absolute Zachar, an absolute Nekeva. Veloy is opposed to a Tumtum Adreganus. The question is, what's wrong with the Tumtum? Rashi explains, you know, by a shlamim, you can have either male or female animals. So whatever he is okay. Is it a he? Is it a she? So why disqualify him? Once again, we have to remove the word tumtum from this brisa, because a tumtum is really he's in a samim mikan tumtum. Comes another akasha tashma. Here's the pasuk by the oila which we had yesterday. Tashma, Zohar tells you that the oil has to be uniquely male. V'loy nekeva, as opposed to nekeva. K'sho eimer lamato Zohar. So why does the Torah repeat again the word Zohar later on? Shei tamalayim, there's no need for the extra pasuk to tell you, matamalayim, lahoytzi tumtum v'adreganus. So ruling out the tumtum as well. The question is why? At most, he's just a suffix. And as we discussed yesterday, on my own, I would know you can't use a suffix, right? Whenever we have an uncertainty, we go lochum, we're strict. So without the pasuk, I wouldn't use the tumtum for a carbon oil, which has to be strictly male. So why do we need a pasuk lohitzi tumtum adreganus? Once again, we'll delete the tumtum from this discussion. Samim kan tumtum. Continues the Toshma with another kasha. Haneva v'amukze. Okay, so we have these bird carbonis. Now, a bird carbon is typically going to experience maliko. The kohen will flick off the head using his thumbnail, which is not a standard, you know, act of shechita, which is typically done with a knife, but by a bird carbon, you do malik. Now, the halacha is that when a bird, a kosher bird, dies, an avela of an oif tohar is metame. It imparts tuma, but not in a very conventional manner. Not by merely touching it, rather by ingesting it. When a person is actually eating, it's metame as it goes through the swallowing process, bebeis ablia. Now comes the question. What if you have a carbon bird which did not have shechita, had malika? Is it considered dead? Of course not, because that's the proper process applied to a carbon bird. But if the carbon bird wasn't really a carbon bird, it was a puzzle entity, wasn't qualifying for a carbon, and it still had malika done, then it's as good as dead. It's like an avela, because it wasn't deserving, so to speak, of the malika process. It's like it died. Example of which are Tashma, Hanevad, a bird which had been worshipped as an idol, wasn't suitable for carbon, v'amukse, designated for such, v'esnan, given to an immoral woman for her services, v'mechir, given in exchange for a dog, v'tumtum, v'adroegenus. So the Brisa lists tumtum and adroegenus as well, as unqualified birds. Kulon metamen gudm abisabli. So after malika, they consider like they're dead, and they're metamen person as he swallows. Okay, so since they're not meant to have malika, Rashi says malika se ina malika. It's not really a malika. It's not halachically sanctioned as a malika, and therefore it's an avela. Now Rashi points out, inevitably, the brisa seems to indicate that a tumtum is a brand new entity, because otherwise, just because he's not a full-fledged male, he would not be disqualified from being used as a bird carbon, because, as Rashi points out, there's no specification in the Torah that a bird carbon has to be a male. So whether he's male or female, he should be okay. So why is he not okay? Why is he possible? Just because he's a tumtum. If, in fact, a tumtum is one or the other, and not a new entity. Okay, we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's just finish the Braisa. Blessed Oymer. he says that actually the Tumtum HaDragonus are safe. Rav Elazar Omer Tumtum HaDragonus ain't metamen b'gadim, basically they have no tumah because they're perfectly fine despite the fact that they're not, you know, pure male. Shoy Rav Elazar Omer, as he would tell us, called makam shenam zochar nekeva. By the animal carbonus, what Torah specifies, zachar or nekeva, then we know, atamoitzi, to disqualify the tumtum bandragonus meneim from amongst them. Because it doesn't, you know, conform. But by a bird, v'oiv, hoiv loy nemar by zachar nekeva, there's no mentioning zachar nekeva, there's no gender orientation by the bird. So, ein atamoitzi, tumtum bandragonus meneim, there's no reference to zachar nekeva, so what's wrong with the tumtum bandragonus? You can't exclude them. So they're perfectly fine to use as a carbon. But in any case, the Tanakhama disagrees. They're not qualifying. In which case, they're Matame because of the Malika, which basically killed them, right? What's wrong with the Tumtum? If it's just a Suffolk, so then either way, he's okay. If he's a Zachar, he's okay. And if he's in a cave, he's okay. Right? Because as we said, by the bird carbonos, there's no need to have a Zachar. Furthermore, says Rashi, the conscience from the second part of the Brice as well, or Blazer. Leza says that, yeah, by animals, it's granted. Yeah, it says Zachar Nekeva, so I have to exclude the Tumtum. Why? If the rest exclude the Tumtum, if it's just a Suffolk, my own, I wouldn't bring it, if I don't know. So in any case, we have a double riot from this price. So the Tumtum is not just an unknown. He's a brand new entity, which disqualifies it. Sami mikan tumtum. Once again, we'll delete tumtum from the list. We're not discussing tumtum. Toshmai comes another kasha from a brice. Rabbi Lozoim. Atreifa, akalai, ve'etzedoifin, ve'etumtum, ve'adragnus. All these imperfect entities, atreifa, an animal which has an internal serious, you know, illness, akalai, crossbreed, ve'etzedoifin, born by way of cesarean. All these cannot be used as carbon. And tumtum v'andragonus loy kadoshim v'le magdushin, they're not kadosh, they can't generate kedusha on others. What does that mean? V'mashmor loy kadoshim b'tmura, they can't even be recipients of a tmura transfer from a legitimate carbon. You can't transfer kedusha onto these. And the chiddush is, Rashi points out, even though typically tmura is chal, can be effective on even a balmum, a serious balmum, but these are worse off. They can't even be recipients of tmura transfer of kedusha, v'loy magdishin lasens tmura, and if somehow, by some fashion, they became kaddish, Rashi explains, how's that? We just said they can't become kaddish. Let's say they were born from a carbon animal, which automatically grants them kedusha just by virtue of their birth. Okay, so they have kedusha, v'loy magdishin, they can't generate a tmura and transfer kedusha onto others. Okay, veluhein, sorry, v'loy magdishin lasens tmura. It's a bottom line. Tumtum is totally disqualified from Kedusha. Why? The question is why? If Tumtum is just an unknown, well, either it's a Zachor or a Keva. What's wrong? Once again, Sam Kan Tumtum, you have to delete the Tumtum. Tashma is another Raya. Another Raya, Rav Elazar Omer, Chamisha, there are five examples of disqualified Karbonos, like Doshim, like Magdishim, don't have Kedusha, can't generate Kedusha Elohein, which are as follows, HaTreifa, Bakalai, Meitzadefin, Betumtum HaDragonus. Okay, so once again, Tumtum is back on the list. Which begs the question, why? There's nothing wrong with them. Perhaps once again we'll delete tumtum. Well, then we're down on the numbers. He said five, and he only have four. Abu Abba. The answer is we'll switch it with another candidate. Afik tumtum, delete the tumtum. Vayot yamsam, and instead replace him with yasam, whose animal's mother died upon birth. It's also a psul, and that's what the Bryce is referring to. Okay, in any case, after all these attempts, we came up sort of empty. And this was relating to Rav Chisda's interesting statement that, you know, the three opinions in the Mishnah refer specifically to the androgynous. Tanakama says Safek. Rav Shmuel says perhaps a Zohar, but certainly with a Mum. Chacham say a new entity. That's only regarding androgynous, who has both gender elements, which create a sort of internal conflict in terms of gender classification. But regarding a tumtum, whose area is merely covered up with skin, so there is just gender unknown. It's one or the other. He's not deserving of a new class, of a new status. It's one or the other. We treat him as a suffix. Says the Gemara Lemek Tanai, perhaps this question is really linked to Machlekes Tanai. You know, whether it's just a suffix or whether he's in a class of his own, a new entity. Lemek Tanai. Here comes a Braisa with three opinions. Number one, Rabbi Loya Omer, he quotes Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. So first we'll refer back to androgynous. He's a Bechor. Perhaps he's a Zohar. But it's accompanied by the Inakvus, by the splint in the skin, which makes it a you can shech them anyway. Androgynous is a brand new entity. It's not a Zohar. It's not an Akeva. And therefore does not qualify as Bechor. Ein Kedusha Cholav, he has no Kedusha at all. Okay. Third sheet. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Omer, he quotes Mishum Rabbi Shimon. And he's going to add Tumtum to his discussion. Harayu Omer HaZachar. You know, the Pasuk by Bachar specifies HaZachar. HaZachar means male, and male only. No other variations. V'chol Mokim Shnemar Zachar. When the Pasuk speaks about Zachar, it's Zachar, a pure Zachar. Eine Elu Lohitzi Tumtum V'Andreikas. The Torah means to exclude both androgynous and a tumtum. So right off the bat we see that we have a new shita who considers tumtum similar to the androgynous. New entity! And that's why he's disqualified from Bechor versus the previous opinion, the Chacham in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, right? Chacham Oimrim, who are limiting their words to the androgynous. Apparently they hold that a tumtum is in fact a suffix and has kedusha. Right? So apparently that's the machlekes here. Again, we have three opinions. The first two only mention androgynous as being problematic. Rabbi Shimon adds tumtum. Apparently that's because he holds that tumtum in fact is a new entity, versus the other shittas who disagree. They hold it's just a suffix, not a new entity. Perhaps we'll use the same solution as the previous. We'll just delete tumtum. So he's only referring to the androgynous. And what's he saying? So again, the Tanakhama says, first sheet says androgynous is a bechor with a mum. Chachamim say, androgynous, it's a brand new entity. There's no kedusha. It doesn't have a defined gender. It's a new entity. Comes Rabbi Shimon and says, it's excluded. Doesn't qualify. Isn't he saying the same as them? We're going to delete tumtum from the discussion, and we're limited to just discussing androgynous. So why do we have three opinions? We have a straight out repetition. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, the third shita, who says Hazacha disqualifies the androgynous, which is a new type of class. He's merely repeating the Rabbanon, who's saying the same thing. There's only one way out, that in fact we are referring to Tumtum as well, and that's the point of Machlekes. Don't delete Tumtum. He's referring to Tumtum. Considers it a new entity. That's his opinion. As opposed to the Chachamim, who disagree with his assertion that Tumtum is a new entity. And Dragonus, yeah, that's a new entity. Because he has both elements, both features, but a tumtum is just an unknown. So the question of how to classify a tumtum, is it a suffix, or is it a new entity that's a machlekes tanoi? Elav tumtum yikimunai, tanakama sovar, and kedusha chalolav androgynous. Tanakam, meaning the Chachamim in this price. So we have three shittas, Rabbi Eloi, then we have Chachamim. Chacham here is being referred to as Tanakama. Tanakama is over. Inktu Shachalav Androgynous. Tanakama holds. Androgynous is new entity, he has no Kedusha at all. He's not a Zach, not in the cave. Aval Tumtum Sveiku, Kadosh Misveiku, but a Tumtum, no. Tumtum is just an unknown. He may be male, maybe female. We have to treat him as Kadosh just on account of the possibility that he's a. V'as Rav Shimon Ben Yehuda L'mem or Tumtum at base. Comes a third sheet and adds Tumtum is equated to androgynous in the sense that they're both considered new entities. Ben Yehuda L'mem Tumtum Brio. It's a new Brio, a new class, a new entity. V'loi Kodesh has no Kedusha. Okay, so apparently Rav Chizda's statement that all agree Tumtum is merely an unknown rather than occupying a new, you know, status. It's controversial. It's given to Machlekes Tanoi. It's a point of disagreement here. Some say, yeah, it's only a suffix. Some say it's a new entity. Well, loy, you don't have to say that. Loy, perhaps, the kuli alma tumtum bebriya loy mesapka. Perhaps nobody would entertain the position that a tumtum is a new bria. No. It's merely either zach or nekeva. Straightforward. Bezach or nekeva mesapka. So what's the machlekes about? We seem to have a disagreement on the tumtums. What are they arguing about? Answers like this. Depends how he's exhibiting, how he's presenting. So his area is covered up in the stand. But when he sheds water, right? When he's matalmai, from which location? By an animal, the areas are distinct, are separate. Where the Zachar sheds his water and the Nekeva sheds her water, there's a gap in between. So you can sort of tell where it's coming from, despite the fact that it's covered over. And therefore, Matal Mayim Makom Zacharus. If the water is coming out from the male side, the Kuli Amalei Plig the Zachar, all agree that he's a Zachar. That confirms the Zachar status. Why would he be behaving this way if he wasn't really a Zachar? He pleaded Machlokes is only be Matal Mayim Makom Nakvas, on the Mayim. Is exuding from the Nakvas area, on that side. Does that confirm that he's in a cave or not? And that is the Machlokes. Mar Savar Chashinam, Shema Nehefcha Zachrusa L'Nakvusa. The Chachamim hold. You never know. It appears, yeah, that he's in a cave. She's in a cave, but maybe. He really has a male organ within that skin underneath, and it's been folded over. And that's why the mayim is coming out from the other side. So you don't know. And you treat him as a suffix. Umar Savalecha Shimon. Rav Shimon, the last sheet, says no. If he appears like he's in a keva, treat him as such, in which case, he's certainly not a Bukhar. So that's the machlekes. So again, in concept, they all agree, like to Rav Chizda, that a tumtum theoretically can have kedusha, if in fact it turns out to be a zachar. We're speaking about where he's exhibiting certain symptoms, certain behavioral symptoms. So again, if he's clearly behaving like a zachar, it confirms that he's a zachar. But otherwise, it's machlekes. Some say that confirms that he's in a keva, and chacham, I'm not sure, and therefore we treat it as a suffix. In fact, we have a story as such. Ki hadahira Rabbi Elazar, as Rabbi Elazar ruled, likewise, in this type of case, and treated like a nekeva. B'mehema, it was a tumtum, that was matal mayim makim nakvas, shedding its water on the nekeva side of things. And he labeled it as chulim. You're not a bachar, you're a nekeva, confirmed nekeva. That confirms that this tumtum is really nekeva. Toiber Rabbi Yechonah. Rabbi Yechonah was surprised at this ruling. He says, "Mandalei chash l'tanakama Rabbi Shmuel. How can you issue a ruling which sort of overlooks the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel, which is now a reference back to the Mishnah? Let's just refresh ourselves back to the Mishnah and then Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah mentioned Tumtum and Adreganus, which according to Tanakama is it's imperfect." But it's not considered a mum. You can't shecht it anywhere. And Rabbi Shmuel just added that by androgynous, there is the Nakvus, right, the female feature, which is like a mum. Right? So how could he go ahead? How could Rabbi Elazar, according to some shittas, it's Rabbi Loi, a different gersa, how could he allow this tumtum free, let it go, to go free, to consider like chulim? Why? We find that in the Mishnah, the Hanakama, Rabbi Shmuel over there say that a tumtum is a safek. You can't just determine its status. You can't just let it go free. Right? Maybe it's a zachar, right? So nobody gives it the keva status, apparently, irrespective of how it's behaving. So how could you go ahead and be matred? Says the Gemara. Now I understand Rabbi Yechanan. He was surprised that, you know, we're overlooking the shittas. But why, interesting, why did he mention only the two shittas in the Mishnah there? There were three shittas there in the Mishnah. V'leim Rabbi Yechanan Nami, why didn't Rabbi Yechanan also refer to the third shittah there? Who doesn't allow you to just take the tumtum and go free? V'leim Rabbi Yechanan Nami, mad lichash l'rabot masroi. He should have said, well, you're disregarding all three shittas there by letting this tumtum go free. The last sheet of the Chacham as well, who hold that a tumtum is a safek. Damar Rav Chisda, as Rav Chisda explained to us, that even the Chachamim there in the Mishnah, who say androgynous is a new entity, but not by tumtum. Tumtum is just a plain safek. You can't take your chances. You don't know what he is. He may be a zachar, maybe kaddish. You can't just let him go free. Don't know chizda. Machlekes is androgynous. Machlekes there is regarding androgynous. There, the rabbanon say, well, it's a new entity. It's not kaddish. I'll be tumtum. Tumtum, which is merely cover over. Status is just unknown. The verakol sveika. It's all agree. It's a suffix. Rabbi Yechon is really there of chizda. The answer is Rabbi Yechon had a different approach. He actually didn't hold the Rav Chisda. He held that the shitas chachamim, the third sheet in the Mishnah, actually considered the Tumtum to be a brand new entity, actually. Similar to the androgynous. It's not just status unknown. It's a brand new status. Covered gender signs, considered a new entity. So that's why he didn't make reference to that shita, which in fact would allow the tumtum to go free. Says the Gemara, Eloi Svirle, okay, so if he didn't go with Rav Chisda, basically, meaning that the Chachamim consider a tumtum to be a new entity, so what was the problem with Rabbi Loi's ruling with the Behemah, letting it go? He was following the Rabbanon. Tumtum is not an unknown. It's very much a known. It's a new entity. It's not Kaddish. Eloi Svirle, Lema, he could have said, Hudamaka Rabbanon. Basroi, he could have attributed this ruling to the Shitas Rabbanon Basroi, the, you know, last Shita there. So what's the issue? The issue is, yeah, because you have one Shita, but you have two Shitas which oppose. So how did you pick one over the two? That was his question. That's what he meant to say. Man shavak trehud, overlook two shittas who say tumtum is a safek and you can't just, you know, let it go. Vavid kichad, then going according to the last shita, one shita which says tumtum is a new entity and goes free. Okay, now let's go back to, in fact, this ruling of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Elazar, come on, Safra. So Rabbi Elazar took a different approach. Then Rabbi Yechanan. Rechon wasn't happy with his ruling. He says, what do you mean? The consensus is that a tumtum is a suffix, and you can't just go by way of, you know, the way he sheds his water, or all these indicators. That's not enough to let him go, to confirm him as an akeva. So yeah, that's a pretty solid argument. Well, what in fact was Rabbi Elazar's basis to allow the tumtum to go free, just because there was water coming out of the Makim Nakfas? Rabbi Elazar, come on, sovereign. The answer is, Ki Adam Rish Lakish. He had a different approach to the Mishnah, as per Rish Lakish's approach, who says that in fact, behavioral expressions can lead to confirmation of gender status. Ki Adam Rish Lakish. When do we consider tumtum as an absolute unverifiable suffix, by a person. Because the way he sheds his water is not going to be an indication, because the areas are so close to each other. Undiscernible. Since the male organ and female areas, pretty much in the same area. So the way the tumtum, whose area is covered up and concealed, sheds his water, isn't going to be an indication of anything. You don't really know what's going on beneath it. I will be behema, but by an animal. Rashi explains the areas are somewhat apart. So even though they're covered over, you can still have some indication by the way he sheds his water, which locations are coming from. Avo behema matl mayim akim zachar, so the water is coming out from the male side of things, that confirms that he's a zachar. Conversely, matl mayim akim nakvus, if he's coming from the nekeva side, nekeva. Hence, Rabbi Lazar's reasoning. Sure, tumtum is a suffix, but in this case, it was matl mayim akim nakvus. Okay, that confirms that he's in a cave. Well, says the word, that also is not so simple. If you recall, we had this very point as the factor of disagreement. And the braisa that we had today, which had three shittas, and we said the machlekes is whether, you know, in a case where he's exhibiting signs of nekeva, the mayim is coming from the side of nakvas, is that confirmed that he's in the nekeva? Maybe yes, but maybe not, because maybe the male organ has been folded over, he's really a male, right? So why was he so sure to go and let it go? Should be concerned. Maybe the male organ was folded over and it's now heading the other direction. And the mayim is coming from the side of the nakvus. Amar Lacy says, why are we concerning ourselves with unlikely situations? Come on, like who? Karameir, the Chashim Mitu is concerned about unlikely situations? No. I'm going with the Rabbanon. Right, we're following the Rabbanon, who go with Raiv. Most likely scenario is to assume that it's not been folded over. In which case, if there's Mayim coming from this side, from the Nekeva side, we assume it's in Nekeva. And that's why he let the Tumtum go. Well, it's not so simple, says the Gemara. Abaye Bar Avin and Rav Chananya Bar Avin, Amit Abaye, they both challenge. They say, Afilu Teim Rabbanon. Even the Rabbanon in this case would perhaps, entertain that there's some unusual phenomenon going on beneath the coverage. Why? The fact is, this isn't your conventional behema. He's already one off. He's out of the tumtum. So perhaps, since he's so different, ishtani, perhaps there's more differences going on there. And maybe his male organ got folded over, right? You're right. Typically, we're not concerned about unusual theories, kind of speculations, conspiracies. But once he sees off the track, maybe he's got some other unique features as well. So it takes us back to the question, how could we rule the tumtum to be chulin just because there's water coming out from the nakvus? Maybe it's really a zachar, it was folded over. Well, says the Gemara, this point is actually up for discussion. Is the Amar Yishtani? Is the Amar Lo Yishtani? Some say, look, once he's off, perhaps he's completely off. And that triggers any kind of concern. Is the Amar Lo Yishtani? Some say no. Inasmuch as there's some difference, it's fine, but you don't have to speculate further than that. And Rashi actually explains whether we have this discussion in this very price that we had before, the three shittas, right, that we discussed at the bottom of Membeis Amud Aleph, regarding the status of a tumtum. We have the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Yehuda, right? Shimon Yehuda says, if there's mayim coming from the nakvah side of things, that's a confirmed nekeva. Chacham disagree. Because you never know. Perhaps just he's showing unusual expressions and the fact that he's just a tumtum. So who's to say what's going on beneath it? Maybe it's all, you know, mixed up. Okay, so bottom line is, how many different approaches do we have to tumtum? So it's basically two basic approaches. One is that it's a bria, which is actually the third shita in the Mishnah in the Melech Amud Aleph, based on Rabbi Yechon's approach. It's a new entity, just like Androgynous is a new entity, it's a new class of its own. We have Rechiz's approach, that all agree it's not a Bria, it's just an unknown. It's concealed, it's covered. Status unknown until confirmation. Right? Now within that approach, we have difference of opinions regarding the matal mayim sugya, if the animal is exhibiting signs of zachar nekeva, do we just confirm it as such or not? So if it's matal mayim mukam zachrus, all agree that confirms him as a zachar. Whereas if he's matal mayim the nekeva side, so again that's a machlekes. Some say it's going to confirm nekeva, and some say, well, you don't know, maybe there was a flip inside and it's really a zachar, and therefore it's considered a safek. Okay, on this topic of yishtani yishtani, does one deviation lead to speculation about additional deviations? Lema, perhaps we can suggest yishtani, this question of one leading to the other, v'lo yishtani, or perhaps not leading to the other. Tanoi is mechlekes tanoi. The sani, we have a brisa tumtum shekidesh. Now we're over to a person, a man. Who's a tumtum? Whose gender signs are covered over? Shekidesh. He gave a woman kedushin, which only a man can do, right? So kedush of kedushin, you have to entertain that in fact he's a male, and treat his kedushin like a valid kedushin. She needs a get to niskadesh. Conversely, if he was the recipient of kedushin from a man, kedush of kedushin, again you have to concern yourself that it's a real kedushin because perhaps he's really a female. So he will perform chalitza if necessary, right? If his brother passed away without children. If he passed away with childless, his wife will be a candidate for chalitza as well. And they do yibum to his wife. We have another brayso. She says, no. It's just tumtum, the wife of a tumtum. At most, they do chalitza to her if he passed away childless, but there's no yibum. Let me say abemis. Then the lacha is that yibum is meant to, you know, perpetuate, you know, the departed's family, but that's limited to where he had the ability to have children. Suppose he had no ability to bear children. He's a saris. He's known to be castorized, to be sterile. In that case, he couldn't have had kids on his own, so there's no mitzvah yibum. So what about a tumtum? So overall, the Bnei Yeshiva figured like this. Let's make some assertions. The Kuli Alma Kerukiva. Again, we have two brises. First brise says, the wife of a tumtum is a yibum candidate. Second brise says, no. So wrote the Kuli Alma Kerukiva. All will go with Rekiva's opinion. The Amru says, Saris Chama. So Saris is a sterile person who can't bear children. Chama. It happened as soon as he saw the light of day, meaning he was born that way. It's a natural from birth type of condition. There's no way to remedy, to heal it. It's a lifelong condition. He can't do chalitza to his brother's wife, nor yibum, and vice versa. His wife is not either a candidate for chalitza or yibum because he was not able to bear children. So all agree with this notion. So what's the machlekes about? Because here we're talking about a tumtum. Now, a tumtum isn't necessarily a saris, but there's room to speculate that perhaps, since he's gone awry, perhaps he's gone awry all the way, he's a saris. Maila bakamidli, perhaps the machlekes between the brises revolves around this question. The first brisa, which considers his wife to be a perfect candidate for chalitza or yibum, we assume she had a healthy husband, despite his tumtum status. Lemri, we don't say just because he was a tumtum, that means he's, you know, totally off the track. Lemri no hil vishtani vishtani. Versus the second brisa, which speculates that perhaps he was a saris, in which case his wife is not a yibum candidate. Madama chaylatzes, let me say a bemis. Second brisa, she's up for chalitza but not for yibum, because maybe he was a saris. I mean, now we have to speculate. Hayil vishtani vishtani, since he was a tumtum, perhaps he was a saris as well. Okay, is this the machlekes? Loi, no, the kuliyam, marmin, hayil vishtani vishtani, perhaps all agree. Once you see one deviation, we're concerned about more. So how could she be a yibum candidate? The answer is, these two brises reflect different opinions, different positions on this matter. On the matter of a saris. Hor Rabbi Elazar, the first brisa, that his wife is a yibum candidate, is like Rabbi Elazar, who says even a saris chama can technically be healed, in which case we treat him like anyone else, and his wife is a yibum candidate for a rekiva. Second brisa, which disqualifies his wife, going like a rekiva. A saris chama is out of yibum. Okay, so says the Gemara. Now let's dwell on this second brisa. so there's no Yibam, but there is Chalitz to the wife of the Tumtum slash possible, you know, Saris. Uman Tana Alidu Rekiva. Who's speaking the name of Rekiva? Even Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda was one of the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva. Havadi Saris Mashvile. So then why no Chalitza, no Yibam, but yes Chalitza? According to Rabbi Yehuda, a Tumtum is considered a Saris for sure. Saris for sure. There's no Chalitza either. It's not just that we don't want to take chances and marry here just in case, but we do Chalitza because it doesn't really carry much risk. We don't even do Chalitza. She's totally out. She's exempted from the whole process. Ilin Rabida, Havadi Saris Mashvila. He says a Tumtum is certainly a Saris. It's not Rabida. A Tumtum Shinikarim is a Zohar. Even if the Tumtum was exposed as a Zohar, they opened up the concealment. Harzal Yachle, he can't do Chalitza. He's like a Saris. Okay. So Saris doesn't do Chalitza, nor does his wife get Chalitza. Ella Rabbi Yisrael Ridahi. Must be a different shita. The Sanya. He says it's not for sure, it's not a confirmed Saris. So you don't want to take a chance and just ignore her obligations. You give her a Chalitza. The Sanya Rabbi Yisrael Ridahi. Tumtum lo yachleis. Shema yikravim tzach vimotzi Saris chama. So Tumtum should not be doing Chalitza, because maybe when they uncover the seal, he'll be discovered as a Saras Chama. Okay, so and Rashi points out, so why don't you do Chalitza if it's just an unknown? He said, we're talking to other brothers around. So don't get involved. Leave it for the other brothers. You might not be eligible. But you see clearly that he's using the word Shema. It's not a confirmed fact that he's a Saris. Maybe. Maybe not. Okay, so his wife still has to experience some sort of Chalitza to exempt her, just in case she's obligated. Says the Gemara, let's just focus again on the words here. So don't do Chalitza, Mr. Tumtum, because you might become a Saris. So first of all, you're assuming that he's going to be a Zachar. I mean, that's 50-50. Atu called the Mikra Zachar Meshtakach, Nekevel Meshtakach. You're making assumptions. Is that so that every Zachar that's opened up is discovered to be every Tumtum, is discovered to be a Zachar? Atu called the Mikra, anyone that's torn open, Zachar Meshtakach, is discovered to be a Zachar, Nekevel Meshtakach, not to be a Nekeva? You're right. He was covering both possibilities. He meant like this. Shema Kamer. Twice Shema. There are two possibilities. Shema Yikarim Tzenekeva. First of all, he might turn out to be a Nekeva, in which case he's not eligible to do Chalitza. Inami Zachar, even if it turned out to be a Zachar, Nami. Shema Yimotzi Saris Chama, and be a Saris Chama, which is not eligible. Okay, so we appear to have resolved our contradiction between two brises regarding the status of a Tumtum vis-a-vis Yivum. Okay, so let's just take a time out for a second. We were looking for a Machlekes. Regarding Ishtani, once there's one deviation, do we speculate there are more? Which was the subject of the Machlekes regarding the animal Tumtum. We thought we had a Machlekes Tanoim, hinging around this question. Turns out, no, all agree Ishtani. And by a Tumtum, we're concerned that in fact it's more severe than that, he's really a Saris. Okay, how do we reconcile these two Brises? First Brise says, no problem. Yivam Chalitza, feel free. Second Bryce says, no Yivam, only Chalitza, just in case. But Yivam out, why? The question is about the status of a Saris Chama. A naturally occurring Saris, according to a Blazer, can have remedy, can be healed, in which case they're a candidate for Yivam. That's the first Bryce. Second Bryce, which rules them out of Yivam, as Rabbi Kiva says, Saris Chama is in trouble. There's no Yivam there. Now, within that position, we have two variations. Rabbi Yehuda says, a Tumtum equals Saris. We assume he's a Saris and he's out. Don't really bother doing Chalitza. Okay, so yeah, this price is not going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, there's strong reason to believe that perhaps he's a Saris, but it's not confirmed. He's a Safik Saris. So you can't take a chance and marry his wife just in case she's not really eligible for Yivam. Okay, in which case he's marrying his sister-in-law, that's us. But it's not in a Yivam setting. That most, you do Chalitza just in case. And likewise, if this Tumtum slash possible Saris, he himself is a brother of a brother that died childless, he'll have to do Chalitza. Just in case, he's really not a Saris. My binayo. Any differences between Rabbi Yehuda, who says he's certainly a Saris, and Rabbi Yehuda, who says maybe not? I'm a Rava, yeah, very clear. Turn to the next element. Two differences. Rabbi Yehuda says he's totally discounted. His chalitza is worthless. He's a Saris. A non-eligible candidate to be involved in any part of the even process. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. So take your chances. And therefore, lifts of makim achim, that's one example. For lachleitz, shalebi makim achim. These two cases, ikabinai, will be a difference between these two opinions. Rashi explains like this. Let's start with the second one. Suppose he's the only brother of the fellow who died childless. Rabbi Yehuda says, leave him alone, there's no point. You're a saris. You're not part of the equation. Rabbi Yehuda says, do chalitza just in case you are eligible. And likewise, lifsel b'malkim achim. So is there all other brothers around. And he jumps ahead and does chalitza. Halacha is, if one brother does chalitza, that's it. It shuts the door. Shuts the process from the other brother. They can't do anything anymore. According to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe he has that power. So that's it. They're locked out. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's a non-entity. And we just discount what he did. Ika b'nao, that would be the two differences between these two shittas. Hanar lachar alaylu mumin. So let's just recap today's daf again. We discussed the status of a tumtum. We have several approaches. Rav Chizkiya's approach is, contrast to androgynous, we have some opinions that consider it a new bria because he has double gender signs. Here he's just, it's an unknown. It's a question mark. It's a suffix. It's not a new bria. So it's one or the other. You just don't know if to treat him as a suffix, taking into account all possibilities. Now within that approach, what happens if the mayim is coming out from the zachar side? That confirms that he's a Zachar. From the Akeva side, some say it confirms an Akeva, and some say maybe he thinks that flipped, and we still don't know. Rabbi Yechon had an opinion that, according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah, just like androgynous is a new Bria, likewise, Tumtum is a new Bria. He's neither a Zachar nor an Akeva, rather, in a class of his own. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.